Maybe if I'm feeling good, I'll hit the treadmill. I did that last week. Then a guy comes right next to me on the treadmill next to me, right? Eight treadmills, he's gonna pick this one. This is the problem with me. I can't pay attention to what I'm doing. I'm honed in on everyone else. Especially if they get near me, I start looking at what this guy is up to. I'm giving him a side view. I came home, I told my wife this story. She don't get it, she don't understand. She's like, why do you look at everybody? Just do you. Why do you look at the whole gym? I go, because that's what makes me happy. I like to be bothered.
Oh my God, that's me. My wife does the same thing to me.
You bother me is the tour. It's kicking off in Tulsa on Thursday night, and then he goes to the Orpheum in Wichita on Saturday. And we're joined by Sebastian Maniscalco. Good morning.
Constantly bothered, guys. Constantly.
Does it?
Like, you now, know gym equipment. The bit you did there, gym equipment. That also applies. It's like the same rule of a urinal. You got to leave like a treadmill in between you if they're available.
I always get the guy that comes next to me to the urinal too, and then starts like coughing up. I mean, the amount of sounds coming out of people in the bathroom. I don't know. I'm so quiet. I'm like a Tesla in the bathroom. You don't even know I'm there.
Yeah, but I was in an airport bathroom. I was talking about this earlier today. I was in an airport bathroom just yesterday in Salt Lake City, flying back, and from L.A. And it was like I felt like I was making my own noises. But you can't be. You can only be so quiet in a bathroom, you know. Somebody's going to hear you, you know.
No, I mean, I'm talking about when you go up to a urinal or you go up to the sink or what have you, I always got a guy with, like, a severe respiratory problem that's coughing out his lungs into the toilet. I mean, just the littlest things. I mean, he could be up in an airplane and somebody cracks open a bag of chips, and I'm like, here we go. We got to eat chips on the plane.
You know, I bother me is what I do too. I get that feeling, and you can't tell your wife that it's just you're born that way. I'm born bothered by things, and I'm, obviously you are too, because obviously you make a lot of money talking about it.
You're bothered by.
How do you tell your wife this is what you do? This stuff.
No, you can't. Because you're hoping somebody will agree with you or be on the same page. And every time I tell my wife anything, she's like, you know, that doesn't bother me. I don't know why you're so so upset that the guy opened up a 7-Up on the airplane. No,
that's why you are where you are, because a lot of people are bothered by things of all senses, apparently. And you're able to articulate that to people. So, yeah, that's what I find relatable about you. When you say, this bothers me, there's a ton of people who are going, well, yeah, that bothers me too. He's got an excellent point.
For our listeners in Wichita, T95 is our home there, the Orpheum Theater, Sebastian will be there this Saturday, actually, at the Orpheum Theater in Wichita. Yeah. And congratulations on all your success, Sebastian. Right. We've never met in person. We know we have mutual friends. Corey Alley is a good friend of ours now. He's been on the show a bunch of times. Yeah. He comes to town in the Funny Bone. We bring you up. He's mad that you're more popular than he is, but he's very cool.
There's a couple comedians like that.
Oh, yeah. That's Pete. That's Pete always going, why am I not big?
Sebastian's one of those overnight successes who's been at it for, what, 21 years now?
Yeah, 21 years. I came out to L.A. from Chicago in 1998, was working at the Four Seasons Hotel for 7 years as a server while I was doing stand-up, and, you know, just hit the, you know, I went to the Funny Bones, the Improv, all over the country for 10 to 12 years, kind of paying my dues, and finally it kicked in for me. So,
but a lot of guys do pay their dues. A lot of guys pay their dues and still just are out there doing and hustling and making a buck, and they're very funny guys. Do you still pinch yourself thinking, hey, listen, I'm in theaters now? Is it something you felt like you deserved, or just something you think, hey, I'm funny and people caught it?
Well, my goal when I came out in 98 was just to make a living doing stand-up. Right. I mean, I didn't have any dreams of playing Madison Square Garden or doing arenas or theaters or what have you. It's just kind of where it went. And, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like if I do pinch myself, I'm going to wake up. So I leave the pinching alone.
Okay.
And I just keep doing what I'm doing. I come from like a negative family, you know, like there's always like, you know, this is going to end soon. You know, your tongue might fall out. So it's, you know, that type of mentality. Yeah, so I don't get really happy.
Plus you hang out with Corey Alley. He probably keeps you based, right?
Yeah, Pete's one of those guys. If I want to feel good, I'll call him.
Or do you remind him constantly how much money you make?
He knows. He could take that.
Okay,
you're in the Irishman. Did you make the cut? Are you in the final cut?
I hope so.
Okay. I'm just saying, because this is the new Scorsese thing with the Pacino, yeah. De Niro, Joe Pesci, and everybody. How'd you get the role?
I went in, I auditioned for it, and I was awful. Yeah. I walked out of there going, I didn't get this. And sure enough, the casting director called my agent and said, you know what? We'd like him to make some adjustments, but currently the way it is, I don't think it's going to work. But if he wants to do it again and put it on tape, that's fine. So I took the notes, I put it on tape. They loved it, and they gave me a different part than I originally auditioned for. And the part that they did give me is a crazy Joe Gallo, which I'm happy I got that part because it was a really great character to play. And the first day I'm on set with doing a scene with De Niro and Pesci, it's like you couldn't even write that. I mean, if I came out to 21 years ago, if I came out to L.A., you told me I was going to be in a movie with De Niro and Pesci and Pacino, I would have thought you're crazy. And here it is.
That's some heady stuff. Yeah.
Were you cool? Were you starstruck? How'd you handle it?
No, I was nervous. I had anxiety. I didn't sleep for 2 days before the shoot, just because, you know, stand-up comedy, I know it inside and out. There's no real nerves or anxiety, but acting I don't do on a day-to-day basis, and plus I don't act with guys who, you know, are at this caliber. You know, a lot of actors work their whole life to get where I was, and it never happens sometimes. But, yeah, I was really, really nervous, but man, they made me feel at home. As soon as I did the first scene, we were off to the races, and
You're a comedian, or they know you were an actor also?
Didn't know what they knew. Yeah. I wasn't going to ask. Yeah. it was one of these things where I didn't speak unless spoken to. It's not like where they yelled cut and I took De Niro aside and said, I love what you did in Casino. There was none of that.
Plus, if you say you're a comedian, you know, they might not care, actually, for that matter. You know?
They're not going to care. They've been around, you know, all different types. I'm not going to sit there and go, I got a show tonight over at the Beacon Theater if you want to come. There was none of that. I just shut my mouth and hope I didn't get fired.
Well, was there small talk between takes? Did they speak and then you spoke back?
No. I there was a point where me and De Niro, they were lighting us, and we were standing kind of like right, like nose to nose, and he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I ain't breaking this silence. I don't know where he's at, you know, like I don't know what acting method he uses. I don't want to snap him out of character, you know. I don't really have a method. They just you know, yell action, and I'm basically myself.
In the movie, then, you're pretty much yourself.
Well, I mean, I play an Italian gangster. Yeah. Not that I have any experience with killing people, but I mean, it's just you know, the only thing I had to do was kind of adjust my speech pattern. I'm from Chicago, and the guy's from New York, so I went to a dialect coach to kind of get some of the New York words right. But other than that, you know, I just embodied the character as much as I could. But it wasn't like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
Yeah, I don't think that would be method acting, because if you're actually a method actor, you would go out and kill people.
Yeah, yeah. Sebastian Maniscalco. You're going to be at the Orpheum in Wichita this Saturday. And where can people find your dates or the rest of the country? Anytime.
SebastianLive.com. Go there. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all there. It's all up and running. And I can't wait to get on this tour. I just got so much material, especially, you know, I got my father. I got a 2.5-year-old and a 3-month-old son. And just took my daughter to preschool yesterday. And there's an abundance of material coming out of that. Oh. So
I saw where was the piece I saw on you and your whole family? Was that 60 Minutes or what was that?
CBS Sunday Morning.
That was CBS this morning.
That was excellent. Yeah. That was excellent. So I found out about your whole career and your whole life for that. I knew who you were, but we hadn't met yet. And you and Corey Alley do the Pete and Sebastian show. That's on Sirius, and you do a podcast too. You can check that out because Pete's a fun guy. We've known him for a couple years now, and he's really good when he comes to town. But yeah, we'd love to meet you sometime, man. And congratulations on all your all your success, man. You're very funny dude, man. You really are.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Anytime.
I'll see you in Wichita.
Yeah, all right. Take care, man. See you, man. Wichita. He'll be there at the Orpheum Saturday. Sebastian Maniscalco.
I just caught him on the new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Seinfeld tooling the streets of New York on little scooters. He didn't get a car for this one. Got two little Vespa scooters.
Oh, those things.
Oh,
okay,
those.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Not the scooters that are laying all over the sidewalk.
No.
Gas Lamp District of San Diego.
They're here too now.
I was going to do that but these you needed to put a dollar in.
Well,
to
these
get
are
it
actually,
started.
These are credit cards.
Yeah, here. The other ones are apps.
Yeah, apps where you put the card in right to the thing, right?
This one I think you stick a credit card in and then the bank probably would have denied me.
If you drove your scooter to get some liquor, yeah, it would have denied you. Exactly.
We know you're going to use that scooter to go to a liquor store.
Right, exactly.
So we're going to shut you down.
No, it was a pretty cool episode. I like that show with Seinfeld.
Yeah, I gotta click it on. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's a bunch. And like the episodes are like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
the last one I saw was one with Lewis was on.
Yeah, a bunch of different comics that we know have been on there. There's like five or six seasons of it up there.
Cool.
More of the players that had the 95-year-old Robert Mugabe in the Deadpool. Doc Mina's Lube Monkey gets a hit, as does Doc Mina's Porn List. Double Dong Tug of War gets a hit.
Is that the name for a shop? Just Dr. Mina's Lube Monkey?
Yeah, could be. I thought she just has a monkey on the side to hold her lube.
Yeah, I just assumed that was an assistant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's an actual monkey with a bottle of lube. It's the
name of the business. You come in.
Either one's good.
Right, she puts you up on a rack and,
and lubes your monkey.
Lubes you up a little bit.
Yeah, with a monkey.
All right.
As long as we're in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any combination
with
lube and a monkey is fun.
Downloading Porn with Dave gets a hit, as does Dr. Mina's Porn List. Drunk Girl at a Party gets a hit. Ebony and Evans in the Morning gets a hit. Yeah. Farm Aid 87 Survivor. Fifi Portland gets a hit.
Hey, my porn name.
As does Fisty Pink Stockings.
I think I met Farm Aid 87 Survivor the other day.
Is that the original Farm Aid? No, who's the guy that Craig knew?
It's not your brother.
Yeah, that's Farm Aid Larry.
Yeah, it's Farm Aid Larry. Two different guys.
It's not him.
Yeah.
I think this is a woman, if I recall correctly, and I forget the circumstances.
I think we decided that Forced Cousin Bang was not a good name.
No, that's rape. It should be consensual, and even then it shouldn't
that's
be happening.
Rape and incest. Right.
Well, unless someone has a gun to both your heads. And it's still some kind of crime.
Well, yeah, it's still a crime.
Yeah, it's still a crime of some kind.
And what you're doing with each other is still a crime against nature.
And that's just a sick criminal, too.
Oh, yeah.
Making cousins bang for no reason.
Well, for his own
you
pleasure.
You say no reason.
Obviously. for a reason.
Forrest Dump gets a hit.
Todd does that.
Yeah.
And, another cider getting promoted. This is frosting.
Yeah. Oh, frosting. Yeah.
Full Scrotal Jacket gets a hit.
That's expensive jacket. Whole jacket's made out of scrotum.
Yeah.
That's also kind of.
Oh, I was going the other way. I was thinking it was a little jacket for your.
Oh, your scrotum.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah, that's true.
A little warmer.
I was thinking more
make
of.
Make sure everything's warm.
Yeah, I was thinking a leather face kind of
thing. We are heading into the cooler months of the year.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
That's quite better.
That Dolly Parton song with a jacket made of scrotum.
Right.
You made it weird by thinking a whole jacket made out of scrotum.
I did make it weird. That's on me.
That would be expensive.
Yeah. That was also a scary little window into Tyler's soul.
Yeah.
How many scrotums do you think it would take to make a jacket?
Well, it depends
on. Ask Puss. That's a good question. Yeah. Good joke. Ask Puss to answer.
It depends on the type of scrotum. I mean, you know.
I guess you stretch a scrotum out.
Yeah.
It's maybe like. 8 inches, maybe a foot.
I wasn't aware there were many types of
scrotum. I mean, if you're not using, if you're using animal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not human.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm thinking.
No, I'm using the human scrotum.
Oh, okay. You're
this
keeping
human,
it weird.
It's going to be expensive.
You're keeping it weird. Okay.
Yeah.
And of all races, too, I want like a calico looking jacket.
Sure.
You know?
It puts the lotion.
I want Asian scrotum, white guy scrotum, and black scrotum.
He has the United Nations scrotum jacket.
Right. The scrotum coat of many colors.
Yes. I love that musical.